Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. We've been making cheese in Wisconsin since before we were even a state, which may be one reason why we win so many awards for it. It's what happens when a whole state dreams in cheese. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
This is Capri Cafaro, host of Eat Your Heartland Out. Our next episode is part of a series we're doing on unique agricultural and food education programs based in the Midwest. We will return to Kalamazoo Valley Community College to discuss their sustainable brewing and culinary arts program. And I'll revisit the Great Lakes Culinary Institute in Traverse City, Michigan, which houses a special maritime culinary certificate. Erin, thank you for joining the program. We've been speaking throughout this show to a number of other individuals at Kalamazoo Valley Community College around culinary arts and agriculture. And you have a really fun job in the sustainable brewing program. We all know how popular microbrewing and regional breweries have, and even home brewing has become in recent years. So I'm really excited to have you share with our audience about what your program is doing to foster the next generation of brewers.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for having me on the show here. So our program is the Sustainable Brewing Program here at Kalamazoo Valley Community College. What kind of sets our program apart from some of the others that you may have seen either in the United States or overseas in Europe is we have an emphasis on this sustainability and ensuring that we're able to, as I say in some of my classes, make sure there's beer for the kids and the next generation. So what that entirely entails is ensuring that we're teaching students not just how to make excellent high quality beer, but how to ensure that we're leaving as little impact on the environment. We're effectively using resources. We are also in encapsulating the social aspect and being inclusive. And we are trying to break down social and gender barriers within the industry and outside the industry. And also trying to create an industry that itself is sustainable, where employees are being equitably paid and product is being offered at a quality price, but mm-hmm. that isn't overshooting. So yeah, we've got something a little bit different here.
Those are really important goals for any kind of academic program that is particularly, geared towards producing a product. I'd like to know a little bit more about, maybe some tangible examples of how you are aiming to make the industry more inclusive, for example.
So it seems like a less difficult task over the past 5 years that I've been here. But inclusivity and diversity in this industry is really a key point across many publications and journals. What we're doing here at KVCC is we're trying to target some of our coursework to be inclusive for non-gender specific. We've seen a drastic increase in the number of females enrolled in our program, and honestly, there's some of the most excellent students we have. But we're offering some events where people can come by, taste beer. We're promoting diversity at these events. both in our product and the people that are attending as well.
And that's, it's wonderful to hear that, you are not only fostering that sentiment of inclusiveness and diversity, but that there seems to be an increased interest as well from, people that may have not necessarily been maybe attracted to the brewing industry previously. Sustainability is in the title of the program. What are you doing in your curricula that that makes the brewing program sustainable?
Excellent question. So I think that most all of our coursework encapsulates this and incorporates these sustainable methodologies in some fashion. Some examples, we have a course, Brew 110, which is a brewing history, culture, and sustainability, where we are not only talking about the culture of the industry and, bringing some of these things like diversity to the forefront of students' minds coming through the program, but we're also talking about the history. We're talking about how the industry was once dominated by primarily by females. And just education in itself, I think, harbors this diversity and this sustainability aspect. For another aspect, non-social related, in our production courses that primarily focus on the production of beer, we are teaching students to use data to make decisions. We are teaching students to be highly sensitive to the amount of water they're using in the process, to the diversion of resources such as spent grain, froob, spent hops, and diverting those into unconventional pathways, not necessarily throwing them away.
I heard about the cookies. We talked about the cookies being baked with the spent grain. So,
yeah, absolutely. So there's a number of different ways that we're trying to promote that in the coursework.
Wow, and I understand that you have the program has a partnership with Western Michigan University too, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah, so students coming through have the option at Kalamazoo Valley to either pursue a certificate, which I believe is about 37 credits. They can also go on to take a few other courses, general ed courses, to really round out their education for an associate's. And if they're interested in pursuing this further, which we always, will encourage, they can take this associate's to transfer over to Western at Western Michigan. And Dr. Burtman and his team over there, they will take a lot of the core sciences, whether it's biology, business, even or chemistry, maybe even some engineering courses, and really hone out a student future brewer's expertise.
Wow. I mean, you all are really opening a lot of doors. Where can one drink the beer that's made by the brewing program? Do you, much like, for example, culinary arts, they have the cafe and the restaurant. You have the farms that are supplying, the culinary programs. And obviously I would assume, you all as well to an extent, but you're trying to learn how to make beer. Is that something that people can buy in the cafe or the restaurant associated with the college or on the shelves? Where can someone taste this?
Yeah, great question. So we have the luxury of being able to not only utilize our 1 hectoliter brew system here at the school for curriculum-based work, but we also can take that product and put it out through the tap room. Actually, tonight on Tuesdays throughout the semester, we hold a Brew 200 class, which is a tap room management and service course, where students are able to pour beer, manage draft systems, learn about POS, learn about service, every Tuesday for several hours. So that's a good outlet to put the product out.
And we
get a lot of feedback from the community. We've got people that have students in the program, parents, family members. We have students coming in. We have community members coming in for this event. And we'll take student beer and pair it with culinary students food. And we'll highlight three beers and three pairings every week.
Oh, how fun. What about, you know, experimenting with, you know, different types of beers? Are you dealing with, you know, for example, sour beers have become, you know, a bit of a trend these days. And obviously, you know, we know that there are your light beers, your pilsners, and then your dark beers and your hefeweizens and everything in between. Is there, you know, a course on, I don't know, different beer varieties to the layperson?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the courses that students take going through the program is Brew 160, and that is a styles and sensory course where they'll learn about the various classical styles that exist all over the world. Furthermore, students really kind of have a free rein to make recipes as they're moving through the program, so they can experiment with things, you know, as classic as maybe an American light lager or things that are a little bit more out there. We have a key lime pie ale that's going on tonight. So there's a lot of free rein that students have to experiment. We kind of have a philosophy where students should really learn to brew classic styles as a way of teaching the process. And then from there, they're able to kind of really experiment and create something of their own.
Sure. Those foundations are important, but they're jumping off point for, I don't want to say bigger and better things, but maybe, you know, the canvas that their creativity is able to be unleashed on. So that is great. I'd love to try a key lime pie beer. That sounds great. And I'd also be interested to know what that's going to get paired with too, from a food perspective. What's on the horizon for the program? I've asked this to everybody. I got to ask it to you too.
So on the horizon, one of the things that we really have stressed with this program is we want to make sure that our students coming out of here are ready to go to work and they have opportunity to go and work at a brewery or an industry related to the field that they've studied, which I think is really interesting. I remember going through school myself and finishing up my undergrad, and you know, the school kind of said, all right, here's your diploma and you're on your way. We try to foster an environment where students are being paired with an internship, which has historically has had a very high retention rate as far as them hiring on the students. So one of the things we're focusing on is community driven. We want to make sure our students are giving back to the community and that they see this school as a resource for training their workforce.
That's, I think, probably a very valuable philosophy for any academic program training the next generation. And that view seems pretty pervasive, I think, across all the programs at Kalamazoo Valley Community College. Aaron, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us and to educate us about how you educate the next generation of beer makers.
This is Eat Your Heartland Out with me, Capri Cafaro. After the break, I will welcome Stephanie and Joel from Kalamazoo Valley Community College.
We fall asleep just to wake up.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. There's a reason when you think of Wisconsin, you think cheese. Cheese is a huge part of Wisconsin's history and future. In Wisconsin, the state of cheese, the tradition of cheesemaking excellence began 180 years ago, before Wisconsin was recognized as a state. Immigrants traveled to settle in this lush green hills of Wisconsin, bringing their cheesemaking traditions with them. These storied skills combined with the freshest milk available created a cheesemaking culture that is uniquely Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 1,200 cheesemakers, many of whom are third and fourth generation, continue to pass on old world traditions while adopting modern innovations in cheesemaking craftsmanship. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Welcome back to Eat Your Heartland Out. I'm your host, Capri Cafaro. I've been speaking to guests from Kalamazoo Valley Community College about the variety of academic programs they offer to students in sustainable brewing and culinary arts. I want to welcome Culinary Arts and Brewing Program Director Stephanie Hughes-Winfrey, as well as culinary instructor Joel Boone.
Stephanie, Joel, it's great to have you here. We're continuing our conversation with all these different programs at Kalamazoo Valley Community College. And I'm just really impressed with the work that is being done there in Michigan and at your institution when it comes to sustainability and integrating all these different aspects of the food system. So, Stephanie, I know you're the director of the Culinary Arts and Sustainable Food Systems Program. I got that correct. Mm-hmm. Please share with our listeners the mission of the program and how it's designed.
All right. Well, thank you for having us. It's really great to be on. So our Culinary Arts and Sustainable Food Systems, we offer two different degree paths, so associate degree and then certificate. And then we also have a baking and pastry certificate. But our program is unique, and I guess kind of our mission would be to instill culinary arts skills and you know, aspects of the culinary world in our students, but also they get some agri-foods background and they get to be on our farm at the Food Innovation Center and be able to grow produce. And then when they get into the kitchens and they're in the cafe or restaurant classes, then they are using that food that they grew. So it's kind of our mission would be to give the students not only, you know, a great foundation in culinary arts, but also to have the sustainability aspect and kind of farm to fork sort of mentality.
Love it. Farm to fork. And Joel, I know you're an instructor. How do you embody that farm to fork approach in the work that you do as an instructor with within the program?
Well, it happens naturally in my lab. In fact, it happened just this week. We're working on salads and vinaigrettes and hors d'oeuvres. And as we're prepping this lab with the students, throughout the semester, you'll hear students say things like, "Hey, I grew that," or "This is from Carlson Farms. We visited that farm in Lawton, Michigan." So when we're preparing these foods, good chunk of our product is really from within, you know, 100 miles of around Kalamazoo. Many things students have grown themselves, picked the weeds that surrounded the plant themselves, just have a bit more of a connection with these meats and with this produce, just based on how this program is designed.
How does that impact the students' learning, Kyle, or excuse me, Joel, when you are bringing them into a situation where they are saying, "Oh, I grew this," or "I saw this being grown," and they're seeing that entire spectrum? How does that influence their learning and their approach as, you know, future practitioners in the field?
Right. So one of the first lessons I teach in class is that to become a better chef is simply at first learning how to identify what quality ingredients are. If your ingredients taste better than mine, if your corn is sweeter than mine, if your strawberries have more flavor, it doesn't matter that they don't have as much experience as another chef. If their ingredients are excellent, the flavor is going to come through in the final dishes. So starting really with those ingredients and leading with that, oftentimes seasonally, is something that after doing that for a while, it's hard to go back as a chef to working with more conventionally raised things. You're not quite as excited about it. So getting their hands on these local ingredients and then teaching them and surrounding them with, you know, the knowledge that the culinary schools teach is really one of the focuses. And that happens quickly with the better ingredients in my experience.
Well, you're already making my mouth water. and that makes a lot of sense. You know, the components of something, you know, if you don't have good components, the end result is not going to be as strong. So I can see how that would really be inspiring to someone as they're preparing those dishes. Stephanie, earlier you mentioned, you know, the work with the Food Innovation Hub, and we spoke to some of your colleagues there. As well, how is the Culinary Arts Program integrated into the work that's done at the Food Innovation Hub?
So the students are able to see from how the plants are growing, but then how they can utilize that best within their foundations classes, but also in the cafe and restaurant classes as well. So the students are also touring different farms, different food locations within Southwest Michigan, you know, within a 100-mile radius of Kalamazoo and the school. So they're really getting hands-on experience and maybe a little bit more view of the supply chain, you know, rather than just having their food show up at the back dock. They've had a little bit of a part and a hand in getting that food, you know, to be able to be used in the kitchens. So, you know, we do try to work together with the Food Innovation Center quite a bit, just with the classes that the students have, but then also utilizing product and working with the partners at Valley Hub and the Food Innovation Center in getting and utilizing product too.
That's great. I know, you know, you mentioned the cafe and the restaurant. And I don't know which one of you want to address this, but I know how important that hands-on experience is as well. So you're talking kind of about the back end, right, of, you know, getting those ingredients to the table. But then obviously there's a lot that goes into training for restaurant management and all the rest of this. And that hands-on experience and those, you know, the cafe or the restaurant is equally as important. What does that look like, you know, as a student and then as a consumer if you show up there and, you know, are enjoying their products?
Right. So we have three different classes. One is for the back of the house for the cafe. Then we have a back of the house for the restaurant, and then also a food service management class for the restaurant. So in the cafe, the students are working on high volume production. They've come from the foundations kitchens where they've gotten, you know, their basic knife skills, and they're really precise with their knife cuts. And then they're able to utilize what they've learned in our labs upstairs. They come downstairs to the restaurant cafe kitchen, and they're putting those skills to use at a much faster pace. Sometimes we'll have up to 100 people come through the lunch line for the cafe. So the students get to see how to work on replenishment. Is there anything that we need to do on the fly to make sure that we keep our cafe stocked and the customers happy? So the students are doing high volume production. They're also, we rotate through different regional American cuisines each week. So there'll be one or two of those that they're, you know, really learning that cuisine through the execution of recipes. And, you know, it's good to expose them to different recipes that they may not have had in their foundational lab classes. But so they're getting to have some, you know, unique recipes that they're able to execute and learn a little bit more about the United States and the different cuisines that exist within those. The restaurant class is a little bit more fine dining. So the students are able to go back to those really precise knife cuts and really have more input on the menu. So they work with their chef in developing usually 3 to 4 courses that, you know, the students have thought of, they practiced, they think will sell well in Kalamazoo at our restaurant, the 418 restaurant. And so it's exciting to see them go from, you know, kind of this higher volume, 100 people that they're trying to serve for lunch. And then they go to their next class, the restaurant class, and they're able to kind of refine what they've been learning and have a little bit more hands-on experience with menu development and executing their own recipes that they've come up with.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because that was going to be one of my, was going to be my next question is, when you were talking about the regional cuisine that was being served in the cafe, I wanted to know a little bit more about, you know, the process of selecting, you know, menu items and that kind of, you know, recipe development and menu development and that collaboration for students to get that. Because that's such an important aspect of all of this as well, because you can understand the ingredients and you can understand the back of house, but if you can't put it all together into a menu item that people are going to enjoy, you know, it's not going to turn out very well. Tell me a little bit more about that process.
So with the cafe class where the students are doing those different regional American cuisines. We do use a textbook, so the recipes are being pulled from that. The students learn, they have lectures on those different regional American cuisines, but then they're utilizing the recipes that are within each of those chapters, and we put them to use. We scale them up. The recipes are usually written for about a 4-person execution or recipe yield. And so they're working on batch cooking and scaling those recipes up. So they have more of a template to use for the regional American cuisines that they're executing. And then for the restaurant class, they're able to have a little bit more freedom, and they're really able to put their creative minds to work and come up with a menu that they think will do well and, you know, taste good and is palatable. And so they have a little bit more freedom with that class. So sometimes the menus, depending on the students and the chef who's instructing that class, some of those cuisines skew a little more global or international. But, you know, they've experienced a lot of those cuisines because of how much influence the United States has been influenced in different regions from countries all over the world. So the lunch is a little more scripted, and then the restaurant class is a little bit, you know, more, I guess they have more freedom to put something together.
Mm-hmm. Jill, what would you like to add to this? We've gotten a lot of background from Rachel, but you know, you're out there doing this and interfacing with the students. What don't we know yet that we haven't discussed?
Well, one thing I think that is really unique about our program is we focus on food as medicine. We have a class called Nutritional Cooking, and on paper, that doesn't sound terribly exciting. But what actually takes place in that class is a ton of creativity and students making food that is not only delicious, but healthy too. That's not easy to do. When I went to culinary school in the late 90s, early 2000s, it wasn't a big focus of making healthy foods. Nowadays, a modern chef needs to be able to understand that food is medicine and how we can create healthy food where you walk away from your meal and you feel amazing. You feel really vibrant and good. That's not always the case when we leave restaurants. Mm-hmm. And so a modern chef is what I tell students, a modern chef, it knows how to understands nutrition, that food is medicine, and it helps connect them with the guests. Now, that being said, we serve plenty of indulgent food here too. There's no shortage of sugar and heavy creams and souffles and creme brulees and things like that. So that's an important part of food too. But I really find that that our nutritional focus is very, very well received by students too, and leads to employability skills. I mean, there's a lot of neat jobs in this industry where that knowledge is impactful, where that knowledge will bring you to the next step in your career.
Oh, there's no question about that. And as we all know, there's so many different dietary restrictions that, you know, people have, whether it's gluten or, vegan, and the list goes on. But to be able to be adaptive and design menu items and understand how to meet dietary needs a variety of individuals, tastes and, you know, health concerns, that really does, I can imagine, lend the skills to employability in the long run. In talking to some of your other colleagues, you're talking about, you know, looking at 20 years down the road, you're talking about, you know, designing for the modern chef and training the modern chef. What I'm getting from everyone that I'm speaking to at Kalamazoo Valley Community College in these programs, that you really are forward thinking in how you are training the next generation of culinary leaders.
Right. Yeah. A lot of culinary students, I think they come to a culinary school after watching, you know, a lot of awesome social media and Food Network type chefs. And they want to work at really fancy restaurants. And that we've had plenty of students to go on and do those things. But many of them realize that there is amazing jobs in, school systems, retirement communities, hospitals. Mm-hmm. We've got some really, amazing students that have gone on to more institutional style kitchens and improved the food at hospitals, brought so more important local ingredients to school systems. One of our instructors also is a chef at the Center for the Blind. And their food, since they've hired him, I guarantee you, has improved and increased based on what he's learned here. And we're hoping to see more of that, as it's not all about, Michelin stars and fancy pants type restaurants. There is amazing food being produced at local kids camps. We have a student that works at a camp called Pretty Lake here in Kalamazoo, and it's a really amazing place. And people don't often think, wow, one of the best meals I've had lately was at a camp. And that's one of our graduates that is using their skills really to their fullest ability.
Wow. And you are absolutely correct. It's not just about restaurants. It is about those institutional settings too, because, those food services really can benefit from creativity. Let's put it that way. I appreciate you both joining us. Any final thoughts, Rachel or either of you, before we let you go?
And just thank you for having us. And we're excited to be here. And if any follow-up questions, please let us know.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Kalamazoo in West Michigan is a great area of the country for food. And this program, our culinary program is really going to be part of improving this whole region's culinary offerings and employability skills around around West Michigan.
Well, and you're making that region, Western Michigan, a leader, I think, in what you're doing as well. So not only are you improving what's happening there in Western Michigan, but I think you're making that region a leader in sustainable culinary arts as well. So thank you both.
You've been listening to Eat Your Heartland Out. This episode was produced by me, Capri Cafaro. Our audio engineers are Liam Warner and Armin Spengen. Theme music by Jason Shaw. You can learn more about the show by visiting heritageradionetwork.org/Eat Your Heartland Out. Eat Your Heartland Out is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bottoma.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.